From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what's so unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? But you, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The entire Lenten season was encapsulated for us in the opening prayer today. Turn our hearts to you, eternal Father, so that seeking the one thing necessary in carrying out works of charity, we may be completely consecrated, completely dedicated to your service. Lord's always calling us from that call of the prophet Joel to return to him with our whole heart, to recognize that God is our one thing necessary. Everything else is superfluous compared to that. And that once we recognize his love, we see that that love is supposed to overflow when we've received it in works of charity. This is the way we are totally consecrated to the Lord, loving him with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor just as we seek to love him. That's what the Lenten practices are, as Jesus himself described. They're all meant to enhance our deep bond with the Father, his loving us, and our receiving and responding to that love by our charity. When you give alms, do it in secret so that your Father will reward you. Our alms of our life, of our time, of the little things that we have, our God's providence flowing through the divine depository of our hands, our fasting so that we might hunger for him and for what he hungers. Our prayer is to go to that secret room, not for show, to enhance that most intimate relationship with him in that treasure place where we hide all our valuables, just like the ancient Jews. It's ultimately this great pilgrimage that we'll hear about two Saturdays from now, where we as the prodigal son return home to the Father's house and experience the full outpouring of his mercy. That's why Jesus summarizes all the teachings he gives us today in the last sentence. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be teleos, as we've talked about before. Be fit, be apt, be who you really are as sons and daughters of the eternal Father. Be like your Father. The Father lets his sun shine on the bad and the good. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He's loving toward those who are deserving of his love and those who are totally undeserving and reject his love. He remains the same. And there's something really important there. He's not whimsical. His love isn't conditional. He is love all the time into eternity. And he's created us in that love. He's summoned us to that love. And he will help us to that love. So that's why Jesus today ups all of the law and the covenant. You know, prior to this point, The summit was what we heard a couple days ago. The golden rule. Do to others what you would have them do to you. That's a big enough challenge. It was love your neighbor as you love yourself. So just as we care for ourselves, we care for our neighbor with a similar solicitude. But Jesus came down and said, just as the Father loves me, I love you, and love one another as I have loved you. Love one another just as the Father loves me, is what Jesus was saying. And that's what Lent is meant to do, to help us to die to ourselves and our selfishness and our just human loves, so that this divine love might become the defining reality of our existence. So Jesus calls us to love our enemies. We as Christians don't make enemies, but we'll receive enemies. People will oppose us. A couple of days ago at the UN, there was this group trying to kick the Holy See out of the Vatican. And, you know, during these days of the Commission on Status of Women, we receive so many groups of young people who come on in. So many of them are scandalized. I had a group of Mormons yesterday who had come over from Montana, and they had mauled the meeting just to see, because the same people who are attacking us want to attack the Mormons, because it's all get the Holy See out of the way so that we can bulldoze abortion, we can bulldoze free contraception, we can bulldoze comprehensive sex education, we can bulldoze women priests, we can do all of these other types of things. And so they were all concerned about how we would do it. And I said, can you see my hand shaking? They tried it before. They'll try it again. We just respond to them as much as we can with kindness, right? And it was an interesting conversation with the Mormons about what that would mean. But love those even who make themselves our adversaries, our enemy, who seek our own destruction. How beautiful it was. I'm not sure if you saw any of the videos yesterday of the terrible terrorist, well, terrible madman attack in New Zealand. But when he went into one of those synagogues broadcasting it, sorry, when he went into one of the mosques broadcasting it live on his Facebook account, one of these Muslims, seeing that he was about to die, said, "Hello, brother." Even though this man was about to kill him and made himself this man's enemy for no reason whatsoever, this soon-to-be victim received him as a brother. If Muslims can do it without the theology of God the Father, can't we? To pray for those who persecute us, and there are plenty, to pray like Saul was prayed for by Stephen. This is the way we will be children of our Heavenly Father. It's a huge point here by Jesus hidden underneath these words. By our baptism, of course, we are made sons and daughters of God. But we don't really become sons and daughters of God morally until we begin to behave like Him. So yes, He gives us that gift of our divine filiation, but there's a task built into that gift for us to respond, to seek, to be chips off the old divine block, loving with the love with which you have been loved by the Father, so that you may become children of your Heavenly Father, who always cares for the good and the bad. So we need to do more than just love those who love us. That's easy. We got to love those who don't love us. So one of the real shortcuts to become like the Father is if there is your own scallops, your own, that's with a K, by the way, another Greek word. That's the thorn in your side of St. Paul, right? If somebody's made herself or himself that thorn in your side, if you can love that person, really, then you can love anybody. It's the shortcut to holiness. If you greet only your brothers and sisters, what's so unusual about that? Do we go out of our way to really greet people with the peace of the Lord, with the love of the Lord, with the Lord? Dorothy Day said, and I've said it before, that we love the Lord to the extent that we love the person we like the least. there's a harrowing aspect to that. But it's deeply true, and I think she might be able to be beatified on the basis of that wisdom alone. Because she sought to love those she liked the least. That's the way we become more and more like the Father. We love those who like us the least, those who are difficult. Some of the times the reasons why God permits us to have these Alexander the coppersmiths, if you know the Acts of the Apostles well, the one who St. Paul just said made life so incredibly difficult for him in Ephesus. The reason why the Lord permits these Alexanders is so that we might, in fact, have an opportunity to become more and more like him and let our rain and our sun fall and shine. But this is all well and good. We can talk about it every year on the second Saturday in the Lenten season. But the Lord really deeply wants us to live it, and not just to begrudgingly live it, but to do all that we can joyfully to live it. That's why I think today's first reading is so helpful to us. When Moses was talking about that covenant that the Lord had made with them, and we've now got the new and eternal covenant in Jesus. But he says, be careful then to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Put everything you have into it. Hold nothing back. Let it rip. Hearken to his voice. Walk in his ways. This is the way you will be a people peculiarly God's own, as he promised. You will be a people sacred to the Lord your God. The church is meant to be a people sacred to the Lord our God. Not just precious, not just particular, but sacred, holy, teleos, perfect, like God is. God never summons us to anything that he won't give us the help to achieve. Today at this Mass, as we ask the Lord for that help, to turn our hearts toward him so that we might, like Mary of Bethany sat at Jesus' feet, find in him our one thing necessary, and then through works of charity come to be totally consecrated to his service. We receive Jesus inside to make us to lay on. Praise be Jesus Christ.